Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Barrett hits me up on Twitter at Willie P Style, I.E. P Style, saying, does Tampa have enough money to sign Shaq Barrett after signing Brady? The short answer is yes. They still got about $22 million of cap room. They got plenty of room. One thing that we did not have, although, again, I think we did a lot better than many thought we were going to over the course of the first week of NFL free agency. Let's head back out to the WadeFord.com hotline and join proud and new papa and continuing NFL draft insider and Falcons insider Jarvis Davis, who joins us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How you holding up there, Pops?
Man, I'm holding it down, man. You know me, man. Just kind of taking it all in and changing diapers as we keep it moving, brother.
Now, as I've said about you, you know more about pass rushing than I know about anything that's not food-related. So when you think about what the Falcons did this week in signing Dante Fowler, how much of an upgrade is that over what they had with Vic Beasley?
Yeah, I got a couple times to kind of talk about this, and I just want to, you know, kind of reiterate what I've seen, and I think that what you're getting is a guy that is more prepared to continue what he's doing, because, you know, last year we all know that Dante Fowler had his best year in getting to the quarterback with 11 and a half sacks, and a lot of people attribute that to Aaron Donald, but I won't necessarily jump all on that bandwagon, because I've seen that he got home a couple times running the stunt with Aaron Donald, and obviously Aaron Donald got a lot of attention on that particular stunt. So he was able to get to the quarterback. But Dante Fowler is a guy that actually uses his hands. He has multiple ways of getting to the quarterback. And I think that's what the upgrade that you're getting over Vic Beasley.
Can't they run those same types of stunts with Grady?
Yes. Yes. Yeah, the more stunts, the better, man. Like, I'm a big fan of moving your defensive linemen around, because a lot of times you want to keep offensive linemen off base as much as possible. You want to keep them guessing. You want to make sure that they're thinking about what you're actually going to do next. And the more you do that, and the more you run those stunts, I think you have a recipe for disaster for the opposing quarterback. And then when you have a guy like Dante Fowler who's used to running those stunts and knowing when to come off of his man and when to take that jab step and come down inside, and so the tackle can come around and loop around, you know, it takes a while in order to get succinct on that, because it is an art form. You know, it takes time for that to happen. But when you have a guy who's used to doing it and he's used to getting home and he knows how to, I think that you may be cooking with some grease, man, because I think that it is something that they definitely should run. The Falcons should definitely run that, because if an offensive lineman knows exactly what you're going to do, he's going to block you, because it's in the NFL, man. These guys didn't make it to the NFL off of willy-nilly. Like, they made it because they're good enough to get there. It's just a matter of what's going to make him stand out once he starts playing against NFL-caliber talent week in and week out.
Jarvis Davis, our Falcons NFL insider, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game as we kind of position ourselves looking toward the draft. And I know that this is something, too, where looking at the way that they can use Fowler. I will take some of the heat off of Vic because I think a lot of this had to do, and again, I don't know whose call it was to have him drop into coverage as much as they do. I think it might have just been the fact that they knew that he was a one-trick pony and they would rather him drop instead of running upfield and going outside of the coverage plan. How confident are you in the Falcons coaching staff's ability to utilize Fowler's best tools at their disposal?
That's a good question, man, because the one thing that I noticed after going back and looking at all of Dante Fowler's sacks from last year is that Wade Phillips put this guy in position to succeed constantly, consistently. Every time he got home, it was because of Wade Phillips had him. He had him lined up on the weak side. He was an outside linebacker in a 3-4 scheme, so he had him lining up on the weak side. So a lot of times, what I mean when I say that is he's lining up on the team's worst tackle. And most of the time, that's the right tackle. You know, your best tackle is on the left-hand side. That's why they make the big bucks. But I think the matchup and putting the guy in the right position, I think the Falcons are going to have to be able to do that as well. Can they do that? I think that's a possibility because with Raheem Morris and the adjustments he made as a defense coordinator, once he started calling plays, you saw the difference. You saw what he's capable of and making those adjustments. And he saw something on film and said, you know what, I'm not going to do it like this. I'm going to do it like this. And Raheem Morris is a guy who touches all positions. He's not just a secondary-centric guy. He's a guy that can talk to the defensive linemen. He can talk to the linebackers. He can talk to the safeties. He can talk to the corners. He can talk to anybody about ball. So I think that with Raheem Morris as at the helm and making those adjustments and seeing what Dante Fowler does best, I'm more than confident that he can do it.
So now, Jarvis, as we sit looking at the draft right now, how do the moves the Falcons made over the first week, trading for Hayden Hurst, signing Dante Fowler, and picking up Todd Gurley, how does that change or not change the way you look at the way the Falcons approach at least the opening pick that they have at 16 in the NFL draft?
For me, it changes a little bit because when you look at the defensive ends prospects, and if you're not trying to get in the business of quote-unquote mortgage in the future to trade up and get Chase Young, after Chase Young, man, it's a significant drop-off. And I was just going through some of the from the tape from Javon Kinlaw. You know, I've been preaching, singing his praises ever since they played Georgia. But after going through and looking at some more stuff, man, it is just like it would be like a kid at Christmas, man, because I think the Falcons need to go defensive tackle, man. You got to get somebody in there that can help push that pocket when it's third and long and they need to get off the field, up the middle. Because when you look at who the Falcons, who just came into this division, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers just signed Tom Brady. He absolutely despises pressure up the middle. If you get him off the spot through the middle, through that middle rush, it's going to be a long day. Drew Brees just signed back with the Saints. Drew Brees despises pressure up the middle. So when you think about what if you look at the landscape of this division, and you have to think about, okay, how can I get out of my division? And that's by getting pressure up the middle because there are two quarterbacks that have significant experience and have won Super Bowls and have been very successful when they don't have pressure up the middle. So if you have those things in play, you have to think that, you know what, let's get somebody to help out 97 because he draws a lot of double teams. And I think Javon Kinlaw is that guy. But like I said, on the other side of that, though, the more and more I look at the tape, man, the more and more I believe that dude's not going to be there at 16.
That same thing. I would like to think that he's there, but I have my doubts on whether or not he would be just because, again, like you said, people are valuing him in a way that I think you and I are. If he's not there, Is it linebacker? Is it defensive back? Is it another tackle out there? Or possibly do you trade back?
I'm taking back a couple of years, man, when the Falcons drafted Keanu Neal. Keanu Neal is a guy that the Falcons absolutely loved. And I think that people didn't believe that they were going to take him. They even thought that they would trade back some and get some more picks and still be able to get them, which I believe to be true. But the Falcons absolutely fell in love with Keanu Neal. I believe that they are kind of falling in love with the guy, Yetur Gross-Matos. I think that is a guy that they're starting to kind of take a liking to. And I think it might be a similar situation come draft day. If they're sitting at 16 and all the people that they really coveted were off the board and Yetur Gross-Matos is sitting right there ready for the take.
I don't know if I want to go defensive end after taking Fowler. That's my only thing.
You need bodies, man. You need guys to touch the quarterback, man. You need as many as you can possibly get, man. Look at the division.
I got you.
Like, people want to slam that rock, man, but I understand why you did. I don't like Gross-Matos at 16, but if it's a guy that you really like and you really feel he can get to the quarterback, because let's just face it, we don't know what we're going to get out of Tack McKinley.
You're right.
We don't know. Are you going to sit there and count on him to say, okay, he's going to show us something that he hasn't showed before, and that's consistency, getting to the quarterback and playing. Now, don't get me wrong, Tack McKinley plays extremely hard.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as getting to the quarterback on a consistent basis, we just haven't seen that. So you cannot go into a year where I think is, hey, man, you on a one-year deal. I believe that Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn on one year contracts. And just looking at the landscape and what this year means for them, from a job security standpoint. So, whatever you get out of him, I think is going to be a plus, because you know there was at the combine there was Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff one on the same page as far as do you pick up the fifth year option or you don't. So why not go ahead and get his replacement a year early and then a year too late? So I think that if they go with a guy that they really like and at 16, and he's definitely not going to be the caliber of a Chase Young, I think you go ahead and do that. But like you said, I think in order to fortify what the Falcons want to do this year and that's be better at touching that quarterback, I think they need to go D tackleman.
Talking, of course, with Jarvis Davis, our Falcons NFL insider and also NFL draft insider. Is there a corner or a linebacker out there that you like, whether it's, you know, somebody you can get in the second or third or possibly day three?
Wow. That's a great question. I've always looked at, you know, where they've gone to in the past, and that's LSU. A guy like Patrick Queen, he may be a guy that you might be able to snag in the second round, because although he is a good caliber player, but I don't think he's necessarily a first-round talent. I think there are going to be a lot of offensive linemen, a lot of quarterbacks drafted in the first round. Obviously, defensive end and defensive tackle. I think there are going to be a run on wide receivers in the mid-first round. So a linebacker might be a guy that might normally, in a normal draft, might squeeze into the first round. But I think he's a guy that could possibly fall into the second and be that guy that, you know, we all know the Falcons love going to the LSU well, man. So they're going to keep going to his draft if he's available on when they are looking for that particular position.
Last one for you, Jarvis. A lot of people concerned about keeping Matt Ryan upright. I know that, you know, people have talked about being in love with Andrew Thomas. Don't know if he's available there at 16, whether you trade up to try and get him. How do you solve the gaping hole at left guard?
You know what, man? They're going to have to solve that with what's already on the roster, man. When you talk about having a James Clapper and a Jermaine Brown and Matt Gono, one of those three guys is going to have to be your starter at left guard. You can't continue to put that much equity into the offensive line and ignore glaring needs on defense. You can't do it. I understand what they're trying to do. You got the shiny toy for on offense and Todd Gurley this week, and I think it's time to get a shiny toy on defense. And I've said this from the get go. Chase Young is the guy. You do whatever you do and go get him, because like I said, when you're in that on that 1 year deal, when you're looking at this thing from a 1 year standpoint, you don't care about the future. Mm-hmm. Why are you worried about mortgaging the future? Because it's all about today. You got a quarterback who, in his early 30s, and Matt Ryan, who doesn't have that many years of peak performance left. So why not go for it? And signing a guy like Todd Gurley, that tells me that they're going for it. So you might as well go and get your shiny. You got your shiny toy on offense, and Todd Gurley, go and get your shiny toy on defense.
Hope that you're keeping those toys shiny for the young ones there at your casa. Hope you're staying safe, and thanks so much for the time as always, pal.
Man, that was a solid segue, Will, man. That's good stuff, man. You can kill it on the Saturday, brother.
You know how it is, man. You know how we do.
My man. Take it easy, Will. Thank you for having me on, brother.
Thank you, Jarvis. Jarvis Davis, our NFL insider, joining us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'll react to some of those things and also talk about a story that I don't think is getting enough attention when it comes to the coronavirus issue involving the NCAA. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Willie P is in the building. Also on the radio.com app, on all your devices and your smart speakers.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.